And for a limited time, Ovation will pay your shipping costs with the purchase of the new Ovation Cell Therapy Color Protection System. Go to ovationhair.com. And also, if you're a first-time customer, be sure to select Angie Austin, Daybreak USA when you check out for an additional discount. That one's the special introductory discount. Again, ovationhair.com, ovationhair.com.
The Republican National Committee is suing for the release of Hillary Clinton's emails and other records from the State Department. RNC Chairman Reince Priebus told Fox News that two federal lawsuits were filed because the Obama administration has failed to comply with records requests in a timely manner.
Citizens can request documents from elected officials, and the law requires a response. The State Department has not responded at all. They've completely stonewalled.
A statement from the RNC says it's seeking the records to ensure the public has the information to consider whether the former Secretary of State is fit to serve as president. Both cases were filed under the Freedom of Information Act in district court in Washington, D.C. Ted Cruz says it's coming down to him and Donald Trump for the Republican presidential nomination. The Texas senator says today he believes he and the billionaire businessman are the only two candidates who can get the necessary delegates to win the nomination. He told reporters in Miami that polling shows he can beat Trump head-to-head. Trump won 3 of 4 states in yesterday's GOP contest, including Michigan. This is USA Radio News.
At GoDaddy, a domain name is the beginning of something awesome. Use it to create a website to promote your business. Open an online store to sell your products. Start a blog. Build your brand. You can even connect your domain to your LinkedIn or Facebook page. And GoDaddy customer support is always ready to help. What will you do with your domain name? Get a free domain with website from GoDaddy.com, starting at $1 a month. Annual purchase of website builder required. Price valid first year only. See website for details.
Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders square off again tonight at a Democratic debate in Miami. Florida and Ohio hold very important Democratic primary elections next Tuesday. Tonight's Univision debate starts at 9 o'clock Eastern Time and will be simulcast by CNN. A business organization disputes a debate claim the Republican frontrunner makes. Here's the story from USA's Chris Barnes.
The head of the BBB's Metro New York division, Claire Rosenzweig, says when the university was open, the Triple B received multiple complaints.
These complaints affected the Trump University BBB rating, which was as low as a D- in 2010.
Donald Trump claimed during last week's GOP debate that the group had given his business an A rating. Trump claiming the Better Business Bureau had faxed him during the debate to confirm that A rating, but the BBB denies sending any such document during the debate. It also says Trump universities had no ratings since September of 2015. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Chipotle Mexican Grill just cannot catch a break from the norovirus. A restaurant just outside of Boston has voluntarily closed after an employee was diagnosed with the illness. There are at least two other suspected cases among workers at the Chipotle, but there's no evidence that any customers were sickened. Scores of people fell ill after eating at different Boston area Chipotles last year, which was just part of the string of health issues tied to the chain across the country. For breaking news, we're at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
To determine whether this was a successful test, South Korea said it found it difficult to believe North Korea could test a hydrogen bomb. A document signed by North Korea's leader, seen in footage aired on North Korean state television, read, "Make the world to look up in our strong nuclear country and Labor Party by opening the year with the exciting noise of the first hydrogen bomb." I'm Tammy Rose.
Chipotle says a federal grand jury has issued a subpoena over a norovirus incident at one of its Southern California restaurants. The Mexican grill that specializes in burritos says the subpoena is connected to a criminal investigation into an isolated norovirus incident at a Simi Valley restaurant last August. This is USA Radio News.
The following was recorded at a Burger King drive-thru at breakfast.
Good morning. Welcome to Burger King.
Hey, Sweet Pea, I'm going to get the 2 for $5 bacon, egg, and cheese for sandwich, dude.
Oh, I've never heard that before.
What, Sweet Pea?
No, the way you pronounce croissant.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. You love it, or oh, my, just give me my breakfast.
Piled high with thick-cut bacon or savory sausage, fluffy eggs, and melted cheese.
All right, welcome to Talented People. It's about 4:05 already on the 9th of March. I hope you're having a great day. If you happen to be listening in the New Jersey area, I'm going to give you a quick update on the weather forecast. Basically, tonight, partly cloudy with a low about 51, partly sunny all day on Thursday with a high of 77. Chance of showers mainly after 2 a.m. on Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low about 52. Mostly sunny all day on Friday with a high of 64, and then partly cloudy with a low about 36 Friday night. Partly sunny all day with a high of 61 on Saturday, and then mostly cloudy with a low about 45. Chance of showers after 8 a.m. on Sunday, mostly cloudy all day with a high about 60. So we're in for some nice weather. I hope you're going to be able to enjoy it. And I want to introduce you to my guest today, calling in from New York City, Sharon Mon. Are you there, Sharon?
I'm here.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing on this beautiful day?
Oh, it is a beautiful day, and I'm doing pretty great myself, actually. Let's hear from you. Tell everybody a little bit about who you are and what you do. Let's start with you. How are you? Bring us up to date.
Okay, great. Well, I have been, as you mentioned, I'm in New York City working and living here. I am a legal recruiter. By background, I practice law, so I'm technically a recovering lawyer, but I realized that my legal skills have come in handy for the type of work that I do as a legal and executive recruiter.
What does that mean? Also, I want everybody to know also that, Sharon, you are actually from Hunterdon County.
So I am.
You were a longtime resident before you moved into New York, so we'd love to bring everybody up to date on that as well.
Yes, I was privileged to grow up in Hunterdon County.
It is beautiful, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So tell us about what it is. What is a legal recruiter?
Well, I place lawyers working in law firms and various in-house jobs into other types of companies and other types of positions. The lawyers with whom I work are usually those that have significant clients, and I usually work with them to place them in situations where they can best benefit with their existing client base. It's actually an exciting job, maybe not the way that I described it, but it's actually a lot of fun, and it's a great chance to meet a lot of interesting people.
Oh, I bet it is. What about, is there a certain region that you are more active with, or is it national?
Yes, I work predominantly in the New York City tri-state area, but I've also worked internationally, and my work has brought me to various countries outside of the U.S., but for the most part, there's a lot of activity going on in New York City, and that's where I focus.
Right. Oh, my gosh. How lucky are you? What about, tell us a little bit about your travels. Like, how many countries have you been to in your life? I know it's just absolutely amazing to watch you on Facebook.
Well, I've been fortunate enough to travel to approximately 60 different countries. One day I actually did count them. I went on the UN list and I actually counted the amount of countries where I have been. So luckily mostly predominantly through work, I've been able to travel extensively, which is very exciting.
Oh, I bet. Now, what about do you have a couple favorites of your country, some stories for us?
I do. I actually enjoy, I very much enjoyed going to Hong Kong. It's a great area, very exciting. It's a city like New York, except it has a completely different culture, which appeals to me. And, of course, it's always wonderful to go to Europe and meet different people from different cultures. So all travel brings something exciting, but some more exciting than others.
That just sounds so like, oh my gosh, you have gotten so much done in such a short period of time in your life too, because you are young. So it's kind of fun to learn more about you.
I appreciate you saying that, Jeannie.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's I got to let everybody out there know, like, if you look her up, okay, Sharon Mahn, M as in Mary, A-H-N, you'll find her all over the place. You can look her up and find her on her LinkedIn. And also if you happen to know her on Facebook, as you can actually see some extraordinary stories, and some of the friends that you have are celebrities all around the world. It's just cool. So let's talk about your charity work. Tell us about how you got into it and what are your favorite charities?
Well, I've been actively involved with a lot of charities that focus on children and cancer. I've been with the Leukemia Foundation working, doing a lot of charitable endeavors, predominantly runs. I've done about 36 marathons and half marathons, raising money. It gets harder as I get older, but I enjoy it for now.
Sure.
But it's wonderful. It's a great cause. I do a lot of work with Girls on the Run right in Hunterdon County, which helps mentor young women who enjoy running and helps build their confidence and self-esteem. So those are the ones that I really do enjoy working with for the most part.
How did you get into the charities that you, I mean, you seem like you're such a sincerely devoted, you know, person, and you do so much across the state of New Jersey, I know, for so long. You know, do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. You know, 20 years ago or so, one of my colleagues from work, her daughter was very sick from leukemia, and I thought it would be wonderful if we can raise money, but also it really got me into great shape just by training and running every day. It certainly gave me a wonderful focus, and I guess I got addicted because I did about 35 more of those runs. But just the people that you meet and the stories that you hear about people who have survived leukemia or those who have lost their loved ones, and the strides that that charity is making, it really does make all the difference. And I've seen it just in the past two decades. So it really is a wonderful charitable organization between the research that they do and the people that join that type of charitable endeavor.
Mm-hmm. And what about, like, to those out there, if they were interested in kind of getting in touch with you as to how they could help, how would they go about that? Or do you find that once you kind of sign up for the cause that it's a lot of, you know, more work than you expect? Or do you just feel like, you know, you're doing something for the right cause, and people just have to understand that, you know, everybody knows that when you get involved with charities that sometimes it does take something. It's so much more fulfilling than anything else, right?
No, I completely agree. Mm-hmm. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of people have had their lives touched by either themselves or someone who has been affected by cancer. So many people can relate. So when I just put a donation, you know, request out there, it's just wonderful that so many people just give to the charity. It's just great to see so many people come together. And everybody, and I think deep down, everyone has a wonderful charitable nature. So people are always willing to help a good cause, which is great.
No, it is great. Really great. We're going to go to our first break here. It's already 4:13, if you can believe it, on look at me saying November, on the 9th of March. And this is Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. Stand by. We'll be right back.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hyde & Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hyde & Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Heide & Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
All right, welcome back to the show. It's Talented People. It's already about 4:14 on March 9th. You're listening to a conversation that I'm having with an amazing person. Her name is Sharon Mann, and she's in New York City, and she's a legal recruiter. We're learning about that. Sharon, tell us a little bit more about the profession and how you got involved with it.
I was involved with the profession as I really didn't, you know, it's funny, I didn't really know the profession existed approximately 20 years ago when I first started out. As I mentioned, I was a lawyer by background, and I like being a lawyer, but I think my heart was more into helping people. And what this provides me as a legal recruiter is the opportunity to help people find great jobs and great work that they otherwise may not know is out there. And it's very rewarding to work with lawyers, help them negotiate their contracts, help them find other platforms that may be more beneficial to them that they may not have known about. So that's really where I get the greatest satisfaction, is just helping people with their careers, providing guidance, and ultimately moving them to a better platform than where they may, you know, be.
Well, being a lawyer yourself must help, is that right?
It does. I can relate to all of the issues that they are going through wherever they are. I've lived it, and I've been a lawyer for many years prior to this career, so I can very much relate to my clients, that's for sure.
Can you give us like a kind of examples, or so that we can kind of visualize, what does a lawyer have as a challenge? Like, what is it that, you know, that you do that you know what they need? I mean, obviously getting a job is one thing. Just tell us about that situation. It's just fascinating. And to me, you know, I always think the minute I hear someone's a lawyer that they've got it all down. So I don't think they need anything, and I know I'm wrong. So tell us.
There's a lot of recovering lawyers out there.
That's so funny that you say that.
Well, I think lawyers, I just know from experience, and as everyone knows, are just, you know, they're very busy. I mean, they're billing a lot of hours, they're working for their clients, they're going to court or doing specific skills that relate to whatever type of lawyer that they are and the specific area where they are practicing. So so it's exciting when a lawyer he can even feel that he's very comfortable where he is at his current or his or her current firm. But if I can come up with some ideas, it's rewarding to be able to have a lawyer move to a different platform, find something that really fits the lawyer's clientele and fits the personality a bit better. And so I technically act as an agent. Mm-hmm. Whereas you hear about sports agents or modeling agents, I basically serve as an agent for lawyers. So I help them from start to finish on finding the job, helping them negotiate their contracts, and helping them get comfortable moving to their new position.
What about, just curious about that industry itself, like, do you find that it's, do you have any thoughts for, like, an attorney that would be starting off? Is there any kind of, you know, things to know about whether or not to go to a small firm or a large firm? How does that all work?
Oh, absolutely. I think the best advice that I can give attorneys early on in their career, which I never knew until probably later in my career, is just that always be networking. Always meet people. Any friend that you have could become a potential client in the future. You always have to invest in yourself. Always, mm-hmm. like, update your skills as a lawyer. Always reach out to friends and family and just try to acquire clients. Really just always be improving yourself and add value to yourself as a person. And I think that will help you in any career, particularly as a lawyer, but it would help you in any area where you practice or no matter what you do.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that normally the attorneys that are starting off do tend up in smaller or larger firms, or is there a better place to be? I mean, I know everybody's individual and different, but trending wise out there in your eyes, is it like the big law firms that make the big money and they're the ones to go for, or is it just, you know, just curious?
No, that's a great question. I feel that sometimes it truly does depend on the individual personality of the lawyer. Some would prefer smaller firms and some would prefer larger firms. But there has been a big movement with the larger global 50 law firms. They have just grown so colossal in the past 20 years that the whole landscape of law is changing. Mm-hmm. And it used to be that lawyers would just charge a lot of money. They would have these huge clients. And these law firms are getting very big. And I think the law firms right now at that level are trying to figure out what is the best business model moving forward to serve their clients the best way, to serve their existing lawyers the best way. So it really is a different type of movement. And I think that lawyers have to figure out, you know, is it best to stay in a big firm? Should I move to a smaller firm? It really does pertain to each person's individual personality and where they'd like to be in the future. But at the same time, sometimes the big law firms are forcing lawyers that are currently practicing there to make some, you know, decisions on what they'd like to do with their future. Now more than ever, lawyers are moving. Years ago, lawyers would not move. They would stay from the firm after they graduated from law school through retirement, but that has all changed, and lawyers move frequently. So these questions are important because lawyers really have to dig deep and figure out where do I want to be and what best serves my clients and my future.
Right. And then they have their specialties. And I'm just thinking here, like, I'm curious, as I'm one of our listeners out here talking to you, just have a chance to ask you about that industry. So when you are the legal recruiter, give us an idea of, like, what do the attorneys usually work? Is there any kind of, like, is it usual, unusual, whatever? Do they work on a commission or do they get base pay plus commission? Like, when you're negotiating these things for them, what are you looking at?
Well, I'm looking at what they can offer the law firm usually, mm-hmm. and how they best fit. It has to be a fit both with the existing, you know, with the existing attorney's clientele, as well as the law firm that is interested in that attorney. So both sides have to really be happy if a lawyer joins the firm. It's a big commitment, and you know, so they have to really dig deep and go through questionnaires and forms just to figure out, you know, is this person conflicted out of the firm? Is this a good fit for the firm? There's many types of details that have to be vetted prior to a lawyer joining the firm.
That's just so interesting to me. So also, just tell us a little bit about what your future goals are. I want to know what you're looking to do as you move further into your success.
Oh, well, I really enjoy the aspect of counseling the lawyers. It's wonderful to work with them and move them to firms, but I've formed such deep relationships with a lot of my clients with whom I've worked in the past, and it's very rewarding to see how they grow in their careers and how their future shapes up so well, and I feel a sense of pride that I worked with them and helped them develop into the type of lawyer that they are currently. So for me, I'd like to stay on a consulting basis in the future, keep in touch, and see what I can do to further help them develop their careers as they keep working.
What's the name of your firm?
It's Mon Consulting LLC.
So it's M as in Mary, A-H-N, Consulting,
yeah.
LLC. Okay. And do you want to share with anybody out there, like, as far as if they're a lawyer and want to get in touch with you, do you have certain specialties that you only stay within certain channels?
You know, I will counsel everyone. I would be happy to give advice. You know, sometimes people come to me and say, you know, right out of law school, what should I do? What track is right for me? I always help everyone because it's good karma and you never know where it may lead. So the best way to probably reach me, a LinkedIn or email, and I can provide those details as well.
Okay, that's good to know. So tell us a little bit about how it was for you, because I'm jumping around a little bit. But you know what? I actually think we're going to be able to finish this interview without having to go to our half break into 7 minutes. And I just want to make sure we can get it all in. Tell us a little bit about growing up in Flemington but living in Manhattan. A little bit more detail about that. Love it.
I really appreciate, as I get older, how much I enjoyed growing up in Flemington. Obviously, it's very different from Manhattan, but there's nothing like having, you know, the same friends that I've enjoyed all through elementary school, high school, law school. A lot of them are still there, and it's just such a beautiful community. Very rarely do you find a place where it's just scenically gorgeous, but there is just so much to do. You have the small town feel, but yet you're still very close to Philadelphia, New York. I think it provides the best of all worlds. It's just a wonderful place.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. What about, you know, tell us, now I'm jumping back a little bit to hearing about some of your biggest deals, because I really do want everybody out there to know about what it's like to be a legal recruiter. You know, just that the fact that you have grassroots to our area is always important to us. And tell us about some of those big deals you've done.
Well, some of the most rewarding deals are with individuals, but some of the biggest deals that I have done, I've merged firms together. I've assisted solo practitioners.
Really?
That have had, yes, that's very interesting. It takes it to another level, but it's always exciting.
Like, so tell us, how do you do that? Like, what are you talking about? Like, merging firms together? I mean, that must be amazing. You know, so much work, and you have to have so much knowledge.
Oh, absolutely. I had an individual with whom I worked, a wonderful partner who focused on immigration law, and he just had really fascinating clients, A-list clients that everyone would recognize, from athletes to celebrities, all helping with the immigration process. And he was out there in California, so I was able to help his firm. He had approximately 16 or 20 lawyers, and I was able to merge his firm into a bigger firm. And he did not know if he would like it initially because he had been on his own and he was his own boss. But the infrastructure from the firm where I merged him gave him so much ability to cross-market his business that it just really took off even more so than where he had it before. So when you see something like that happen where all elements come together and it's very successful, that's really rewarding for me.
Well, it's just so amazing what you do, and I love your energy. That's the one thing everybody says about you. Every time someone meets you, they say, oh, my God, I've never seen that. I wish they could bottle that energy that you have and sell it somewhere.
Oh, you're so sweet. I'm going to do more interviews with you because you're wonderful.
Oh, I know. I'm really excited about that. Colleen and I have a whole bunch of stuff set up for you. Tell us about, like, your favorite clients.
Well, my favorite clients, some of them, I've remained friends with many of my clients, but I've worked with some pretty big heavy hitters, people that might have been segueing out of law firms who were politicians. By way of example, local resident and Senator Torselli, I had worked with him at one point with his company. So it's interesting to just meet people from different types of practice areas when they're practicing law, or some of them have segued onto the business side of law. So you get all types, and they're all interesting in their own way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I love the fact that you mentioned again, it is, you know, interesting what you were talking about. I just want to bring it back a little bit. You were telling people out there who are attorneys or anybody really that was considering, you know, the networking and how important it is from the beginning to keep your friends and family, and everybody could be perhaps a customer of mine. And then you just went back to how loyal you are with your clients and staying in touch with them. And again, you know, I think that's so true. I think, you know, when you're really out for the good, and that's what you are all about, by the way, I want everybody to know that, like, you know, it's been kind of fun to get to know Sharon over the years, because every time that she comes through our channel, it's always because she's giving something to somebody else. There's nothing to do with bringing it back to her. It's amazing. No, you know what? But we really mean that. And I know Colleen, she's not in the studio today, but she means the same thing too, because, you know, it's you see it, and then you see someone who does it all the time, and then you see someone with so much energy doing it all the time. I can see why you're always rushing around, because you have so many people to help. But I just want everybody else to know, you know, to know that you really are there for them as well, and that you have a practice, Mond Consulting, in New York City, and that, you know, you have a lot of connections and a lot of, you know, you have so much skill and ability. So if someone out there interested in getting in touch with you again, just tell them how to go about it.
And I think I agree with you. I think the backbone of the industry is basically networking, and keeping in touch with people is very important. But sometimes people look at the short term and not the long term. I mean, we're all in it, and, you know, life is long. You never know when you'll need to connect with someone, or when you can help someone out, or they can help you out. I think it's important to be good to everyone, because I think it always comes back to you. I don't think that should be your goal to have it come back to you, but I think it really it helps you as a human being, just be you know, a better person when you're helping people. If you can help people, it really, you know, sings to your soul, I think.
So it's perfect words to end our interview on, Sharon. Really, it's already 4:27, and I think we got through most of what we wanted to share with everybody. Is there anything else you want to add? Because I do think that you're so right about that. What you give out comes back.
Yes, I think that's the big takeaway from everything. I mean, I think that's the key with networking. Just be kind to everybody, and when you're good, it comes back to you as well.
Okay, got it. All right, well, listen, I look so forward to seeing you with Colleen. We're going to see you tomorrow.
Yes, I look forward to it.
Yes. Okay, Sharon, thanks so much for being on the show
today. Thank you so much.
I'm going to let you go right now. We're going to go to our commercial break, and then you're going to listen to an interview from Talented People Television with Entourage Company, doing some yearbook work, which is very fascinating in this digital age. Again, all the best to you, Sharon.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
great
thank
speaking
you.
With you.
Yes, okay. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening into that portion. I'm going to put you to a real quick commercial or two, and then I'm going to put on Talented People TV so you can listen to a half hour of most interesting stuff about the new of yearbooks.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
He is called Entourage Yearbooks. He's the CEO, and his name's Elias Joe. Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy. Welcome to Talented People. We appreciate you watching in. This week we have a special guest. He's a longtime resident of Princeton, and his company is called Entourage Yearbooks. He's the CEO, and his name's Elias Joe. Welcome to the show, Elias.
Well, thank you very much, Jeannie.
Thanks so much for coming in. We have a strong interest in learning about the yearbook, history of yearbooks. Everybody out there knows that you either have one. If you don't get one at the end of the year, you regret it. Let's start from the beginning. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I'm a founder of Entourage Yearbooks. The company was founded back in 2006. And basically, you know, I was looking for a business to start. We were looking at a lot of different type of opportunities. Yearbooks in particular, if you know anything about the yearbook history, there's been a lot of problems in yearbooks in terms of yearbooks being a little bit expensive, taking a long time to make, getting students involved, the evolution of social media, and kids becoming less interested in yearbooks. And so we just saw a lot of opportunities there to kind of bring technology and service to make the yearbook experience better for schools.
So it's interesting that you think of it. I know back from, you know, way too long ago,
yeah.
Like even if you missed the day of portraits, there's like a black picture, and, you know, you missed it. You're not even in the history of the yearbook at that time,
right? That's
right. But now with all the, like you say, the social media and all of the technology.
That's right.
So you saw these opportunities, and you started in 2006. And so what happened?
So we just started with just one school at the time. It was Columbia Business School, which was the school I was attending.
Nice choice.
And, you know, and we had a great success over there. They were creating a book for about $100 a book and selling it to about 700 students. And we made that same book for $60, and we got more students involved, and we used more web technology. And so putting that all together was kind of the beginning of that whole process where we realized, listen, this can be done better.
Right.
This can be done cheaper, and this can be done in a way that really focuses more on what the schools want. And so we built on that over the years. And so now we're probably serving close to about 4,000 schools. And that formula stays the same. Oh, thank you. That formula stays the same, which is, listen, we got to create an efficient business model so that we can have affordable books for the students. We've got to provide the best technology. We've got to do the best that we can in terms of providing resources so that the teachers and the parents who are organizing yearbooks have the tools they need. And we've got to start integrating more of the social media. We've got to integrate more of what the students are using, Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, into the yearbook experience just to make sure that everybody stays involved. So that's been our journey over the last, you know, 7 or 8 or 9 years almost now. And that's been kind of driving where we are today.
Well, love the way that you were thinking and the vision of it back in 2006. People love to see it, I know, and learn about technology. I'm thinking of traditional yearbooks.
Sure.
And now you're talking about 2015 plus, moving on to almost 16 here. So tell us about your yearbooks. Like,
sure.
Tell us about the process, everything about it from the beginning. Like,
well, so, you know, the yearbook process is, it's an industry that's been around for 100 years. So in terms of what's the same, there's a lot of things that are the same. You know, collecting the pictures, getting the students' names, editing the book, and publishing the book. Over the course of the last 10 years and 20 years and, you know, the last couple of years, there's a lot that has been changing. So in terms of integrating, you know, so one of the things happening is there's this explosion of people taking photographs these days. More
people
are taking pictures on their phone than any other device in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I read a statistic recently that something like 1 billion photographs are uploaded every single day. So, amazing. You know, the problems we used to have 20 years ago, which was, you know, what book pictures are we going to put into book, are totally different today. Now it's a problem of, okay, we've got so many pictures, what are we taking out?
Yeah.
And it's also about cataloging and making sure, hey, do we got the right students in the book and the right coverage and all of that.
What an undertaking.
So that all of that has changed over the years. You know, the other parts of it, the internet. You know, it used to be that you used to have to work at the school to make your book. And now you can design your yearbook at home. You could work on it on your mobile device. There's a lot more opportunities to kind of not only create your content, but create it while it's happening. So we've seen examples of people where they're creating and taking pictures and, you know, preparing the content while they're at the event now. So this is kind of a lot more of that live media that's going on that's trickling. You know, originally it's happening with the, you know, with the television media and online media. And now it's happening with yearbook media.
Right. So, like, is the yearbook, like, go to the school system? Did you have to go back and train the teachers, educators, the editorial department, the yearbook club? I mean, everybody has to learn about all these new tools that are available, right?
Absolutely. It's kind of a virtuous cycle in terms of how the transition is happening. I mean, teachers themselves, as they come in, they want to change. Mm-hmm. They don't want to make the yearbooks that they made a couple years ago. They right. want this one to be better. They mm-hmm. want this one to be different. They want this one to incorporate more students. And so they have ideas as to kind of how to put that together. But looking for the right company that actually offers the different services has been a struggle. So what we do is we come along and we look at what they're asking for. We look at the landscape of technology and try to bring it together. Mm-hmm. And that's what you see in the Entourage Yearbooks platform. You see an online experience where it incorporates not just, you know, okay, you can design a great yearbook online, but where can I get ideas? You know, how do I teach these students about journalism? How do I take great photography? How do I use Photoshop? You know, these are all things that we've kind of incorporated into one platform. Mm-hmm. So it's true that the learning is happening.
So now, is it a, you know, traditional at the end of the year type of a physical book, or is it only electronic?
Well, the short answer is still a physical book.
Okay.
The longer answer is that it's changing, and so you know, we at Entourage have, you know, what our belief is as to what the future of yearbooks will be. And you know, we believe yearbooks are going to be around for a long time, but we do believe it's going to change. So right now, you get a physical book, which is a culmination of all your experience and photographs, and it's wonderful. Yeah. But what we believe that it can be, and what it should be, and what it's transforming into is that it's both a physical book and an online experience, mm-hmm. where you can look at your book, you can see links, you can see QR codes, you can go and say, okay, what's going on these days with these classes and these students? You know, let's watch a video of what happened at this pep rally. So being able to kind of create this integrated experience
of
Europe.
Really, yeah. Is.
So that's really the direction it's going. You know, yeah. That didn't exist 5-10 years ago, and it's coming in now. You know, mm-hmm. Some of the schools, they're adopting it, they're trying it out. They're really having some fun with it.
Oh, so. I bet. What about, so your company is one of the fastest growing yearbook companies.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask you about, where does this begin? Like, at what age does someone actually start to recognize and become part of your, like, you know, yearbook circle?
What you mean in terms of actually creating a yearbook?
Yes, or even needing it or wanting it. I mean, if they're young and...
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so a couple of things that we've been seeing is, one is that I talked a bit before about the explosion of photographs. So there's just a lot more pictures. And so what we see now happening, I mean, much more so than years past, is students are getting yearbooks at younger and younger ages. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest segments that I've seen grow this year is actually at the preschool level, where preschool students are now ordering yearbooks of their graduations, and they have their cap and gowns and all the events in the year put together. Now, that's clearly put together by the parents and the teachers, but it's a product that more schools are adopting. You know, there's plenty of content. They need a, you know, they just need to kind of put it together, and it's something that they store. So that's something. That we're seeing, and you know, being able to use those pictures year after year, that's another thing that we're seeing, which is you know, I'll give you an example. This is, we do the preschool yearbook, we do the elementary school yearbook, we do the junior high school yearbook. Mm-hmm. And so now with the fact that you can store all those photos, you can index them, you can start creating yearbooks at later ages that incorporates all the photos that were in before. So now that yearbook not only becomes a snapshot of that student for that 1 year, but for their whole, you know, across
like
many years.
Like a yearbook scrapbook.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I've seen schools use that very effectively.
Yeah. Well, what about, like, let's talk a little bit about funding and schools. They're always looking for, you know, revenue sources and so on. So talk to
Absolutely.
That a little bit.
Well, so, you know, the biggest thing we hear is fund, you know, funding issues and funding help that's needed at the school, both for the technology to create the yearbook as well as for actually funding the yearbook itself. Mm-hmm. You know, I presented recently at our advisors conference. And we had done some research, and that, you know, technology spend for schools is not keeping pace with how fast education is growing. So a majority of schools don't have enough money for funding their technology. Mm-hmm. Entourage, we come up with a lower price book. So, mm-hmm. you know, historically people are used to paying $80, $90, $100 for a high school yearbook. You know, working with a company like ours, really focus more on the platform and the technology. You know, you're getting that same book for $60 to $70. Now, what we're seeing is the schools using that as a way to save funds in the creation of the yearbook so they can invest it back into their technology. And so it's through this kind of working together with the schools that we see these yearbook programs growing versus kind of some of the historic problems that you see, which is, you know, you got big books that are expensive, buy rates are going down, you know, students want to get involved because the books are too expensive and nobody's buying them. And so you got to break that cycle.
Right.
And that's really what it comes down to.
I get the visual of, like, the encyclopedias, you know?
Yeah.
You have 24 plus and plus, and now all of a sudden it's, like, this big. But what you're describing, I love the way that it's just, it's technology. I mean, it's yeah. got to be changing. How do you keep up with it? How do you keep up and are able to stay ahead of it knowing that everything revolves around that?
Well, you know, So there's a couple. I wouldn't say that I try to keep ahead of it, but I definitely try to make Entourage a place that schools can go to get opinions on technology. So technology for schools means they don't need the bleeding edge, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. What they need is they need what's tried and true,
right.
what's got the privacy data secured for their students, you know, what's right for them,
oh,
what's
boy.
Not transient. Mm-hmm. So these are things that we always incorporate. You know, for us as to how we stay on top of it, you know, I just surround myself. You know, Entourage is full of creative people with a passion for serving schools, passion for technology, and, you know, we love what we're doing. So
mm, you can tell your staff is so engaged.
Yeah.
Lovely.
We spent the whole summer this year just, you know, getting feedback from serving our schools last year and saying, okay.
Well, that was your recent advisory conference, our advisors conference.
Absolutely.
And so tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the advisors conference is something that we've been, our schools have been asking us for, which is we need more help, not only from Entourage, but we'd love to get feedback from other advisors.
Right.
You know, what are they facing in the classroom? There are some things that they face that's really more dealing with being a teacher. You mm-hmm. know, how do I interact mm-hmm. with the parents? How do we fundraise and all of that type of stuff? So the advisor conference was in response to that, and we invited yearbook advisors from high schools from all across the country, all the way from California, Tennessee, New Jersey, New York. And the idea was to bring them together, present some of the latest, you know, techniques, you know, latest trends that are going on in yearbooks, and then actually give the advisors an opportunity to present themselves and say, listen, these are problems that we're facing, and this is how we solve them. And then they themselves get to kind of interact with each other and help each other. So it's been a great program. It was a huge success this year.
Yeah, well, congratulations about that, too. I think it was great. We were there, and we're sure going to get a little footage on that, and able to see how, you know, your clients and those educators were actually helping, because they know what they would like to see you guys be moving in what direction and contributing to that.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the biggest thing that I learned from that event was how much what we do in the little things that we do make a difference. You know, when, you know, the we're not just a yearbook company that prints books, right? We're there with them. We're answering the phone calls. We're providing resource materials. We're providing technologies. We're helping them in the classroom. So it's in all these little aspects of what's in our service model that I really learned. And I said, listen, we got to really pay more attention to you know, the resources. We've got to pay more attention to how to help the teachers teach these classes, how the students are going to learn. So these were the big lessons that we got from the event.
Yeah, I know there were quite a few of them. Talk about the privacy. I am interested in that. How does that work with y'all? I know it's such a massive, you know, undertaking as far as privacy for
data privacy is a huge topic of conversation, not just for students and schools, but just in general. You know, you've got sites like Facebook and Google, Gmail, you know, that Twitter, they're all collecting your information, retargeting it, and then using it to actually provide you some type of advertisement or some type of experience in order to kind of, you know, provide a marketing vehicle product that they can sell to other companies. And so, and obviously that's not something that's, you know, we got to be sensitive to that for everybody, but more so, I think, for the students.
And absolutely. So,
there's a whole series of legislation that's just not caught up with where the technology is, just like there is in a lot of areas, in terms of what data are technology companies allowed to collect, how are they allowed to use it, how can they aggregate it, what information can be shared between schools, what information can be shared with vendors, and so...
So interesting.
So all of that needs to be kind of considered, especially, you know, when it comes to student photography.
Right.
Now you've got names associated with students and making sure that that stays secure, making sure that how they actually, students use those pictures doesn't get shared with the wrong companies and everything like that.
Absolutely.
So there are a whole series of privacy acts that are in place right now. Companies like Google, which is trying to push Gmail and a lot of the Google products into the schools these days. If you see, a lot of classrooms use the Google tools in the classrooms. They have to turn off a lot of their data collection technology that they use, that they normally use when you and I are using Gmail.
Right.
But because of the fact that they simply, you know, for privacy purposes and respecting the, you know, what's going on in the classroom, that they want to turn a lot of that off.
It really is a whole issue in itself. One of our clients at our public relations company is called Privo.
Okay.
Do you know that name?
No, I know.
They've been on the show and so on. They're one of the seven companies that were like building the infrastructure charged, you know, as from the government to actually help build the security for privacy of children online.
Absolutely.
And you know, I think it's amazing how gray it is.
Yeah.
And so in your position at the Entourage, you know, yearbook company, all of the stuff that you're doing, you know, you have to be so sensitive to that. So I think it's interesting.
Absolutely.
And if you're working with the school systems, that's really great.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all of it eventually is going to be, you know, considered as part of the big picture, really.
Absolutely. I mean, for us, and why we're different from a lot of other of those kind of technology companies is ultimately our customer and our client is the schools. And
right.
So, you know, wherever they have policies for privacies is we make sure that we don't use the least common denominator. We use the highest common denominator in terms of privacy and security settings. You know, you've worked with some of these other organizations, you know, like a Facebook or Google. Mm-hmm. A majority of their revenue is not coming from the schools. It's actually coming from the advertisers.
Right.
And so there is a kind of a conflict of interest that happens there that they're struggling with and they're working through because, you know, these are all socially responsible companies.
Right.
But they do have a conflict of interest.
No, absolutely. Wow. How, like I said, a whole other show on that, right?
Absolutely.
Talk about your products now in the Entourage Go.
Sure.
That's your new thing coming out.
So we have a brand new service that we're launching. I'm super excited about. It's called Entourage Go. Go is in response to a lot of schools have come to us and say, listen, Elias, you guys provide a great yearbook service. Is there anything else that you can do for us? Can you do anything else for us in fundraising?
Right.
Can you do anything else for us in terms of some of the products we sell? And so we're launching Entourage Go in response to that. And it's a service where schools can go and they can resell photo mugs, T-shirts, calendars, you know, basically products that are kind of branded for the school. They can use it for fundraising. They can reuse some of the photographs from the yearbooks into the products themselves. And the idea behind it is to just make it more fun, to create more products for the schools. Mm-hmm. And it's something that, you know, I think, you know, we've got a lot of interest from schools about. So.
Oh, I can just picture it. Well, you know, even if you think about it, like the way there used to be the school store, I don't even know if there are anymore. Why?
Yeah.
You just have it online and then have it customized and use all of the
absolutely
all of the archives, everything that we work so hard to collect to make memorable. Makes total sense.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, like, you know, you get a school mug with your, you know, with your varsity number on it for your students, you know, know, sports.
Kids are so lucky these days.
Yeah. So, you know, those are the things that we've been looking at, and we're really excited about it.
Really exciting stuff. Tell us now a little bit about the video work that you have and tips and so on that you have for those who are this either, like you called them, the student or parent-generated content and so on.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us about that.
So we are launching a whole video initiative. So there's a couple of things that we've been seeing, and it's people think it's a little funny that we're launching a huge video initiative at a yearbook company. But video is a huge, it's going to be huge for yearbooks. And we're embracing it, and we want to use it to help our schools. So video is great for doing things like teaching. It is great for introducing new products, introducing techniques. So we're launching Entourage Live, which is our live online show where we go and do 30-minute segments on how to, you know, what are some of the great Photoshop tips and tricks, you know, how to organize your yearbook, how to use the Ed Online software. And this is not just for our customers, it's just people who are interested in yearbooks. They can come in, they can, what's nice about these online live shows is they can participate, they can ask questions. So it's meant to be a lot of fun.
Give us a couple examples of some of the tips that you offer and kind of tell people about.
Sure. So a couple of them. Well, you know, I think the biggest ones are just, you know, a lot of it's around photography and organizing your photographs. We're planning on having a show on how to edit photos, how to look at photos from a yearbook editor's point of view. So what you're looking for in that case is you're not only looking for just high quality photographs, but you're making sure you got good coverage of your students, everybody's kind of representing the school in a proper way, you know, you're using the aspect ratios, understanding how to use photographs on the design of the page. So there's a lot that you can kind of do there.
I think that's really important to mention because, you know, there was the yearbook club and there was that editorial, like, training and education, you know, behind that. So
Excellent.
Now you're going into a technology place and all of that makes total sense. And at the same time, to be able to give the kids those angles, like you say, thinking from an editor's perspective.
Absolutely.
I just actually have to say, like, it must be such a challenge to have a high school system have, you know, be your client, and then they have 1,000 students, and you all are in charge of making sure that that content is correct from an editorial perspective as well. How do you do that? Like, let's hear about that a little bit, because it's just amazing as an undertaking.
Yeah, it is probably the hardest part, which is just making sure that the, you know, doing the final checks and the editing on the book, it's the hardest part, the highest stress part, not only for the schools and for the editors, but for the teachers and for us. And so it's something that we take very seriously. You know, a lot of it's on the editors, right? We don't know the students and everything like that. So they've got to kind of work with them, make sure that they capture the book correctly. What we do once we get to it is we have a whole series. I think we're up to 14 QC checks that happen to the book once it comes to us. And we're looking for everything from inappropriate content to, pages that aren't, you know, could be designed a little bit better, to stuff that might be cut off when it gets bind, you know, when it gets bound. So we do all of that as well once the book comes to us. And it's through this kind of joint QC and editing process that we can get to a higher quality book at the end. But I think you hit it on the head. I mean, it's one of the hardest part of making a yearbook is getting it finished.
Well, I do think so. And I also think that, you know, in one person's eyes, what would be appropriate to another person's eyes. And at the end of the day, you're serving all of these people and the future of their generations that go back and look at what is a yearbook.
Absolutely.
I laugh because my husband's name is Jan.
Okay.
Right? So I can always answer any call when they call. Is Jan here? I'm Jan. On his yearbook, you know, he's gotten the red cap and gown. You know what I mean? Everything. Because it's always been that way.
Yeah.
So it just must be so difficult. What about, do you have any thoughts in your head of a recollection of a story that where you guys caught something that you would have been like otherwise overlooked perhaps?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of them.
Those are fun stories for our guys out there.
There's kind of more serious ones and there's kind of funnier ones. So I'll share a serious one first and it's something that's hard to see, but we had some students that were flashing gang signs with their hands into photographs, and unless you actually recognize them, they're kind of hard to see, and you know, most schools do not want to have that type of thing show up inside of their books. And so, you know, we have in our QC process kind of a whole series of kind of hand gestures that we look through just manually to make sure that's
incredible.
Caught. we don't catch, you know, we catch them all that we can, but it's, sure. you know, it's something that we do try to make sure that we help our students out. You know, things that are a little bit, you know, a little bit lighter in terms of things that we catch is that, like, we have some schools that are, like, more conservative in terms of how they want their students to be represented.
Oh, boy, yeah, you're really walking a lot of tightropes on the ultimate
Absolutely.
Customer. Yeah,
so
right.
we had one school where they had a policy where all the students had, all the girls in the school has to wear skirts. I think they have to be below the knee.
Oh, my goodness,
and
yeah.
We had photos that we had students with, you know, skirts above the knees, so we contacted the school and they had to get those fixed.
I love it. No, see, that's all about the customer service, like you said, quality
Absolutely.
Control. And if you think about that, and I'm actually giving you credit to even have a hand gestures category, because, I mean, who would think of even that? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, you have to be in your shoes.
You just want to make sure that they get the best book possible. And yeah. so, and it's what it takes to kind of get the project done. You know,
well,
people
you
are
feel
organizing.
That you care so much about it. I love that. We only have a couple minutes left, so what about you? What else would you like to share? Anything else before the end of our show? You have a couple minutes, but I wanted to just make sure we got everything, because I am so impressed. And
yeah.
I'm so excited for you all.
You know, a couple things that I'd love to share. I mean, for me is I, you know, I love yearbooks. I love the direction it's going in. I love the kind of like little niche that we are in and the family that we've created at Entourage. I appreciate so much you bringing us in here and, you know, having us be interesting people of Princeton. And
absolutely.
So,
well, you know, it's hard to engage your employees, too. But when we were at your event, and it was in Princeton, too, so we can tell everybody that was nice. Where was that place? Let's give them a plug as well.
That was at the Crown Plaza
that
in Princeton.
That was a nice place.
Yeah,
and it was a
great.
Really beautiful place for your guests and, you know, to come from out of town.
Absolutely.
But you could tell, you know, as a CEO of the company, talented people, that's why you're here.
Yeah.
What is it about you that makes sure people just want to get up and go to work every day and just smile? Because we know, we've seen them, they're here in the studio.
I feel very lucky that we've been able to attract the talent that we have. Mm-hmm. You know, I think what we do, we take very seriously. Mm-hmm. We honestly believe we are fixing a lot of things that are kind of, you know, that could be better in yearbooks. You know, we are fixing a lot of things that schools want. And we continue to get that reaffirmation from the schools that say, listen, I didn't know companies can do this. And we say, well, you wanted it, we do it. And I think it's kind of through that and the success we have with our customers, which then translates to success we have with our employees, which then translates to a successful culture.
Right.
I feel like that's what's been working for us.
It's definitely working for you. So
yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I just want you all to know, talented people, you know, Elias Joe, again, CEO of Entourage Yearbooks. What I want to end the show saying is that you think about how, you know, people just look at things the same way every day. They don't all of a sudden say, you know what? We could make these yearbooks so much better, and we can use what's going on in technology and with the people and with, you know, the vision. And so to you all out there, if you have something that you do every day, take a different look at it for just a second and see if you can come up with something as fun as this project is with one of the fastest growing yearbook companies. So again, thanks so much. Congratulations
Thank you
very on much, your success.
Yeah. Yes.
And don't forget to look for Entourage Yearbooks when you're creating your yearbooks this year. Take care.
Welcome to Cook for the Health of It. I'm your host, Dorothy Mullen. Our program is about the health transformations that people experience through the simple acts of preparing and eating delicious, fresh, whole food. My guest today is Audelle Harvey. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Audell is the president of the Board of Trustees of an organization that I run called the Suppers Programs. She is also a type 2 diabetic. She was diagnosed 12 years ago. And you were insulin dependent right from the get-go.
Not exactly. I got a prescription for pills that I promptly ignored.
Okay. So I think in this case, we're going to have the food tell your story. At some point, you decided that you were going to become a vegetarian. Was that the first time you got diagnosed or the second time you got diagnosed?
It was a couple years after I got diagnosed. So my initial diagnosis was after finishing my first marathon.